Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning. So, revenge porn, illegal sharing of intimate images. Call it what you like. It has ruined and even cost lives. My next guest has been a victim of it and earlier this month was able to announce that others don't have to suffer as she did. Alexandra Ryan, founder and CEO of Goth Media. Thank you so much for joining me in studio. It's great to see you.
You too.
thanks for doing this. But can you take us back to a phone call you got when you're on holidays with your sister? What was that all about? What happened?
Yeah, it's such a crazy setup when I actually think back to it. So I was on holidays in Greece with my sister on a bridesmaid holiday. So it was about a week or two before my other sister's wedding. Mm. I kept getting private phone calls back to back to back. And we all know even the day of the scams that are going on now, like it's just never a good sign. I had a really bad feeling in my gut. And I eventually answered the phone and it was a woman that I knew just telling me that she was looking at a sex tape that I was in. Obviously, initially, I was like, this is obviously a lie because I've never taken part in a sex tape in my life. But as she started describing things that were happening in the video, I remembered the night that she was talking about. And then I knew that it was real. And basically, the reason she was calling me was to say that, you know, she had the video now and it was going to get out there and it wasn't going to be good for me. And that was it. Then she hung up.
Was it so a threat, basically?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the main reason of that phone call was to let me know that she had this video and it's going to get out there, and she wanted me to believe that it was going to get out there, whether she ever put it out there or not. You know, she wanted me to think that that was the reason she was calling. Mm. So obviously it was absolute blind panic for me straight away because I didn't even know I was filmed in the first place. So the man she was talking to is someone I'd been with for nearly a year. Like I trusted, I've known him for years. Like we were really good friends for a really long time. So I just couldn't wrap my head around it. And then I rang him straight away and he just admitted to it straight away. He said, yeah, I filmed you. Didn't think this was going to happen. The whole thing is just a nightmare. I actually can't explain it any other word than a nightmare. I was just like, this cannot be happening. This can't be real. Because it wasn't just, oh, hey, someone made a videotape of you and I have it. It was someone has a videotape, I have it, and it's going to get out there and I'm going to ruin your life. That's basically what happened.
So this was 6 years ago, is that right?
Yeah.
And even just looking at you describe what happened, it's still quite difficult to go back to that place, even everything that's happened in the interim. But when you hung up the phone and you turned to your sister and you said, did you tell her what happened?
Yeah, I told her straight away. I honestly started screaming in the street. She didn't know what the call was about. I just started crying and I had left our dinner table. I was on the street. She didn't even know how I got there. I kind of just woke up in the moment and I told her what had happened and she was just so shocked. And I think immediately I just hoped that that was it. It was just going to be this call. It was just a moment of terror. She was just trying to get to me. Nothing was going to happen with it. I just told myself that had to be what was going to happen because I didn't want this to be real. I just kept being like, no, this is going to be fine. And then I woke up the next morning. I'll never forget it. For the first like few minutes, I woke up and I was like, oh my God, that was a dream. Like, this is all fine. And then I realized it wasn't. And I just started crying straight away. And that week just got worse and worse and worse because I was away from Ireland as well. I didn't really know what was happening back at home. But I started getting messages saying that everyone was talking about the sex tape, that people knew this woman had it, that it was being talked about. And I didn't know whether to admit it was real, to lie about it. I literally was just in complete panic and complete shock.
So this happened 6 years ago. The video was taken without your knowledge. Did you know what to do? I mean, it sounds like, you spoke to, I'm sure, your family or whatever, but did you feel like you could go to the guards or something? Or,
you see, it's complicated. Even people always say this to me as well. They're like, well, you obviously talk to your family and friends. Not really, because you have to think about what this actually is at the end of the day. This is a videotape of you having sex with someone. Like, how do you bring that up into conversation? And this was 6 years ago. It was way before the Me Too movement, Harvey Weinstein, nothing. So the first thing I thought in my head before I even told anyone was, no one's going to believe me. No one's going to believe for a second that I wasn't a part of this video. And because it was my sister's wedding, I actually didn't tell my family at all. My sister was the only person that knew. And I only told one other friend. That was it. So when I came back to Dublin, I literally told nobody and I said nothing. I was still in contact with the man trying to sort out like what we were going to do, how I was going to get the video back, or like, was there any way to do anything? And he very much like tried to take control of the situation in a bad way. Like, he was like, don't go to the guards. Like, then all these men and these Garda stations are going to be watching this video of us. Is that what you want? Is that really what you want? And I was like, I don't want any of this. Like, I really didn't know what to do. But I spoke to my solicitor and I just realized pretty quickly that there was nothing I could do. You know, there really was nothing.
Wow.
Anyone listening now, you'd probably be like, oh yeah, but it's probably illegal for him to even have filmed you in the first place. No. I could have walked into your bedroom and filmed you having sex with your husband and the only thing I'd be done for is trespass. The actual video, having it, sharing it and using it against you, none of that would have been illegal for me. So to realise that that was where I was at, I really didn't know what to do. And then it was kind of, how do I live my life? How do I get through every day? Do I talk about this? Do I tell people or do I just pretend it didn't happen? And I just pretended it didn't happen. So if people brought it up, I was like, that's not true. Because I didn't want people to say, for me to say, yeah, that happened. Then they were just going to go and try and find it. And there was obviously opportunities for me to take legal action in other ways. And I was just worried that if I did take legal action or I did go against them, that they'd just release it anyway. And if that happened, nothing would have happened to them. Mm-hmm. So the constant question in my head all the time was like, do I get justice or do I literally keep sane enough to stay alive? And I chose option B.
For years, yes. You how would you go through working? I mean, you're very successful in your working world. You're out and about at peer events and having this kind of darkness in the back of your head. Was that really hard to do?
So hard. The thing about this situation as well is that, you know, it happened within my own industry. Like, and I think anyone that goes through situations like this where they're being harassed or threatened or blackmailed or they have a video or a photo, it normally does happen in like a workplace or in a community. So you feel like there's nowhere to turn. So I was going to events with people who I knew had either seen the video, shared the video or knew about it. And people who I would have considered friends in the media industry never asked me, was I okay? Like no one came up to me and like, is everything all right? So I had to go to these events pretending I was fine, standing there knowing that everyone in the room was talking about me. And you probably know what that feels like. You know, when you walk into a room, you're like, oh God, if there's some drama going on, you know, everyone's thinking about it. It was like that every single day. But at the end of the day, like Goss was only about a year old when this happened and I had a business to run and I had staff to pay. And I was like, I can't not function. I just have to keep doing it. But like, to be honest, like there were so many mornings I woke up and I literally couldn't get out of bed. Like I would just be crying all morning. I'd take 5 hours to get myself together and then I'd go into work like after lunch and none of my staff even knew what was going on. But I was like, I have to go in today. Like I have to make money, have to do these stories, like everything. I just felt like I had no choice but to continue on. And in a way, that was probably a good thing.
Yeah. So you knew this video was being shared. You knew people who you would have considered friends saw it.
Yeah. Or shared it or talking about it. Because I'm never going to know the exact specifics, right? Because no one's going to say to me, yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
I obviously only know what I know. But that is the reality of it, which was really sad. There's so many people I've never spoken to since then. Like, they didn't talk to me. It's not that I stopped talking to them. Like, I think you have to remember, because this was pre-Me Too time as well, I was just massively slut-shamed. It was like, right, Ali did a sex tape. She was well up for it. She's just embarrassed that it's got out. That was what the story was. Whereas no one knew the actual trauma which was going on, which was like, I didn't even know it was being made and now I'm being blackmailed, threatened, harassed. And every time I thought things were over, like it would be even a year later, I thought, right, this has died down, it's gone away. Someone would bring it back up or she would talk about it again. A lot of the stuff that happened to me, like harassment wise, was on social media. So things would go up, you know, saying someone had the video and it was going to be shared. Like this is something I had to look at like nearly every day. And every time I thought it was over, it would come back up again, or someone new would contact me that I've never met and they'd say they have it or they've seen it. It literally was just endless. Like I can't tell you, I can't pinpoint any time in the last 6 years where it actually had stopped, where I felt safe enough to like go about my life that like no one was going to hang it over my head until I told the story. My story. Yeah.
Let's talk about that. You wrote your story back in December. How did it feel to know you were going to tell the world about the one thing you'd tried to hide for so long?
I know, it's so crazy. So I knew that the bill, the Coco's Law, which is now in legislation, that had been put into the Dáil in like 2018. So I was literally waiting since 2018, being like, when is this going through? And then I had been speaking to Jackie Fox. She's kind of the main person who really lobbied to get this legislation across the board. It's based on her daughter's name, Nicole, so Coco's Law. Mm-hmm. she was talking to the Minister for Justice. I started talking to the Minister for Justice and I realised this was all going to happen before the end of the year, at the end of 2020. So I kind of told myself then, right, as soon as it's in law, I'm going to share my story. Because like I said to you, my worry wasn't talking about it. It was that if I was on your show right now talking about it, someone could find the video, share it, upload it, and nothing would happen. Whereas now, if someone was bonkers enough to do that, they could go to jail for 7 years. So I was waiting for that moment to happen. So when President Michael D. Higgins, he signed it into legislation, I think it's 27th of December, I literally pressed publish. So I had it written already a couple of weeks before. But it was a difficult decision because like my family definitely weren't too excited about it. I think they were worried. And again, as you would probably know, you really don't know how things are going to go on social media. It's either very positive or it's very negative. And my family were just like, how are you going to handle if everyone calls you a liar or suggests this didn't happen or you're attention seeker? And I was like, do you know what? For my sanity alone, I need this to stop being a dirty secret that I have. I just want it to be out there. So I did that and I published it. And I honestly never in a million years thought I would get the reception that I did. I mean, I think I've had over 2,000 messages since I posted that, from women and from men, women who've been through it, men who say, you know, they've daughters and they'd never realise this, or people saying that, you know, they've been forwarded things before and now they're never going to do it again. And a lot of victims as well saying that they just didn't have the words to explain to people what they were going through, and that piece helped, because the piece is quite intense. You know, like I'm talking about being in Greece, the panic attacks, you know, not wanting to be alive anymore. Like, they're very serious things to say, but I had to be honest to myself. And I just felt if it made one person feel better or one person not share a video or a photo, like then that's like saving a life. And for me, that was enough. And thankfully, the reception was all right.
Absolutely. And let's talk about Coco's Law again, just exactly what that means now.
Yeah, so there's two sides to the law. There's online harassment, which is one side, and then there's the sharing of images, intimate images and videos without consent. That's kind of the side that I'm working on. So basically now, if you share an image or photo or video of someone without their consent, you can face up to 7 years in jail. So it's very, very serious. Like, it's very good legislation. If you threaten to share something, you can also face jail time. So it's not just about you film someone, you've shared it. If you even threaten someone to share it, that's enough. You can be arrested, you can go to jail. And that's what wasn't around before. And I think a lot of people who've been through this, one of their biggest issues and the reason they don't tell people is they are being threatened. If you tell X and Y, I'm going to release this. If you know, a lot of women have been in contact with me saying that like ex-partners have threatened to send videos to their parents and stuff. Like, it's really, really, really bad levels of blackmail. But now even just threatening a girl that with that or a man, that is now a criminal offence. Okay. So like, it's definitely a much safer country now, but it's obviously incredibly sad that it's taken so long, and it's obviously too late for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But the one good thing about the legislation is if someone had a video taken of them 6 years ago, like me, if someone shared that today, I can still get that person arrested now. It's not retrospective, as in I can't get the two of them arrested for what they did because it wasn't a crime at the time. But in terms of the video, I'm protected now. So that's the one positive. Anyone who has something out there that they're worried about. And hotline.ie is basically where people can go to say that they have had something like this happen to them, that something's gone online, that they've been filmed. Hotline work with the guards and they'll report it to the guards. You can also go straight to a guard station and just report the entire crime there. But to know that that's just there, I just think it's going to help so many people. And I was talking to the department last week and they've already had so many people reach out to hotline, and I know for a fact they've already got things taken down. So like, the fact that's happened in under 2 weeks is just insane. Like, I don't think people honestly realise how bad this is in Ireland. I mean, we're talking about, a lot of this campaign is about women in their 20s and 30s that I've heard from. If we were to go to 16 to 18 year olds, I think you'd be shocked. I think it was 1 in 10 women aged 20 to 30 have said that they've had an intimate photo or video shared without their consent. I'd be gravely concerned to go down the next level. Like, with all social media at the moment, I really don't know. I'd say it's even worse the younger you go.
So what would you say to any young man or woman listening now who might be worried of an intimate photo being shared? What would you say to them?
The number one thing I would do is go to hotline or go to the guards, especially if you know a video actually exists or a photo exists. If you're worried something's been shared, like, it is a crime now. It's not you ringing up complaining for no reason. It's genuinely a crime. If you're being threatened, even if you don't know if that is real, like if they have a video, if you're getting threatened, that's also a crime. And then the other thing I would say is just talk to someone, you know, like when I published the piece, I can't explain to you the weight it lifted off my shoulders. I don't think I realized until I actually wrote about it how much it had affected my life and how it had literally been a dark cloud just following me around all the time. So I would definitely say, if anyone's listening that's going through this or they're worried something's about to happen, talk to your family, talk to your friends. I think it's important that this campaign has got a lot of publicity because now it's not so taboo. It's not like, what's revenge porn? What's this? I think everyone understands now what it is. So parents, friends, colleagues, they should be able to understand. And I do think as well, like I was saying, now that we're in the Me Too era, I think people are more likely to be believed. And I think that would have been a worry a long time ago as well. But the problem with this crime, which is really tough to understand if you haven't been through it, is just the shame you feel yourself. Like, I didn't even know I was being filmed and I still somehow think it's my fault. So like, imagine being a girl who did take part in something consensually, but it was never meant to be shared. She's obviously going to feel responsible if it gets shared because, you know, I decided to do this, or a guy, I decided to be in that photo. And it's just to remind everyone that that doesn't matter if you took part. You never, ever consented to it going elsewhere. And the second that happens, you're a victim and the person that's done that to you has committed a crime.
Alexandra Ryan, founder and CEO of Goss Media, thank you so much for coming in today. And don't forget, as Alex mentioned, hotline.ie. That is the place to report abuse of intimate images being shared. It's there. It's there now for everybody. And thank God it is. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.